Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song.
Michael, 3 games left of the season, starting with what's always a big one against Leeds.
Yeah, big game. We're looking forward to it. You know, we know kind of what's at stake. Rivalry in a good way, and it'll be a competitive game for sure. Regardless of what's going on in the league or anything, I think as a game in itself, it's an important game, and we understand that for sure. Added to the kind of league situation and what's going on, then there's a little bit extra on the game as well. So yeah, it should be a good night.
And obviously, just a case of continuing what is an excellent run for you.
Yeah, there's been a lot of positive things from us recently. I was two ways really looking at last week. We felt it was a good week in many ways, but not enough for kind of what we wanted. But nevertheless, a lot of good things going on, and the boys are putting a really good run together. So, you know, that's certainly something that we're trying to build on as the season comes to an end.
Have you had to reinforce that with them this week, given the distance you are now to the top six?
Not particularly, no. The boys are in a good place and looking forward to the game. And you know, we know there's 3 games to go, and we'll be ready for that. And we know Monday night is a really important game in many ways. So yeah, of course, our responsibility is to be ready for that. But yeah, we want to keep building on our performance. We want to keep trying to win games, you know, and see where that ends up at the end of the season and moving on to next season. So now the boys are in a good place.
You've also got a knack of doing well against teams who are looking to go back up to the Premier League. You know, Southampton, Ipswich, spring to mind, Leicester, of course, throughout the season. So that obviously gives an added edge to it.
Yeah, I think again the boys, you know, as a group, whoever's played throughout the season in these type of games have proved that the level of performance that we can find is good enough at times. I kept saying consistency is important, but we've certainly shown that we've got the performances in us, so that will take a lot of confidence from that.
Isaiah Jones signed a new deal this week. That's a good one to get sorted early on.
Yeah, for sure. You know, he's had a good time really over the season, and improving all the time, and still work to do, but a lot more to come from him. So yeah, to get that sorted and finalise is really pleasing.
And he's had his ups and downs, hasn't he? Not just this season, but throughout his career, and he's kind of always come back strongly, which is impressive.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of it. You know, it's a career and it's a life, to be honest, in general. I think it's full of ups and downs, and you've got to ride the waves. And you know, obviously we're here to support the players when they need a bit of support. We're here to kind of prod them and poke them in the right direction and getting performance out of them as well at times. And I think that the more challenging times or the moments you go through that are a little bit tougher. In the end, if you come through them, you are stronger and you're better and you learn from the experience, and it makes you, puts you in a better place really. And that goes for all the boys and as a team as well, in terms of through the season, you know, and your experiences. And I think we're all better for going through them, and you could use them as a positive experience to build on.
I think everybody would agree it's always good to get things done early, and I mean, the season hasn't even ended yet. Is that kind of the pattern that you're hoping to replicate with getting players tied down and new arrivals and that kind of thing?
Ideally, of course, you want things to be done very quickly. It's not always possible, you know, and there is things that need to fall into place. But yeah, for sure, it's great to get Izzy's sorted, signed, and stability is important. So yeah, that's the key moving forward, really.
Now, just a word on Luke Ayling, who obviously can't play on Monday because it's against Leeds, but he was our man of the match at Ipswich, and he seems to have kind of become a fan's favourite very quickly because of his style. He likes to. I don't know how to describe it. He likes to wind up the opposition fans, the opposition players. He's that kind of player. He's really added something, hasn't he?
Yeah, he definitely has. He's done terrific. You know, he hadn't played an awful lot of football before he arrived, and kind of, you could see him improving game by game, finding his rhythm, finding that we know what he's capable of doing. And yeah, he's done ever so well, settled in well, great personality, good character around the squad, and he's had a big impact on us.
Is he one who would be here next season?
As I can't sit here now and give you a definite answer. It's impossible for me to do that, but yeah, for sure, we're working on a number of things, and I'll be fair to the individuals as players as well, not just Luke, but the other ones, some of the other boys as well, that it's not just an easy yes or no for me now. Of course, we're looking to try and do certain things and to keep playing, make this squad as strong as we possibly can, you know.
Just on the home form, because I know you've previously said it doesn't matter where you pick up your points, home or away, but it has been below par this season. But it's been strong recently, hasn't it? So that must be pleasing for you towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I think it's just the run we've put together. I think the boys have found a good rhythm and a good level of performance, and just, you know, give ourselves a lot to do going into towards the end of the season, with maybe the start we've had, or the little bit of inconsistency through the season for different reasons. But certainly, we talking about earlier about the confidence, and we can take into the next game and the end of the season is because of that, because the performance has been there, and it's not always been easy. You know, the boys have stepped up and in some tough games and found good results. So yeah, pleased with that, the character and the personality that the boys have shown. It shows that the spirit they've got between each other.
And just lastly from me, the FA Cup replays being scrapped is something that's been talked of a lot in the last day or so. What's your view on that?
Yeah, from a club's point of view, disappointed with the decision that's been imposed on us, really. It's kind of taken out of our hands, so it is what it is. But on the club's behalf, we're disappointed with that. Individually, for me, it's my opinion, it's irrelevant at this stage. You know, it's a shame. There's a lot of good experiences and good moments have come from replays, and it gives a lot of clubs a massive opportunity to create special nights and memories, and that won't be the case.
Yeah, I mean, it's taken away a bit of what fans remember forever, really, isn't it? You know, there are nights for lower division clubs and clubs in the Championship that they'll never forget, and there were replays, and that's at risk of all being forgotten.
Yeah, it is. I think football always moves on and adapts, and things change over time, but it's probably the way it's happened from the club's point of view that we're most disappointed about.
Thank you.
Michael, we all know the league table and it is where it is, but I suppose it's not quite there yet. Will you be watching the results tomorrow, pacing about, or are you just getting on with playing for Monday?
No, I won't be particularly. I think we'll be preparing for Monday, doing all we can. We're obviously in training over the weekend and going the same process of a week what we'd normally have, whether it's a Monday, Tuesday, Saturday or Sunday, it doesn't really matter. So we'll have eyes on that, if more about us, you know, and then approach the game like that. There's nothing else we can do, you know.
The good thing about the game on Monday is that, you know, whatever happens with the league table, it's a game that demands people's attention and demands everyone's up for it, kind of, and it feels good that it's that sort of game on Monday.
Yeah, definitely. I think this stage of the season, we understand and where our position in the league. So I think this one is a great game in terms of wanting to look forward to, wanting to get motivated for. Not that we'd certainly need it, but in terms of the energy in the stadium, and as I said, it means whatever the situation in the league, these type of games always can create something a little bit different. So that's what we're looking forward to.
Just a word on Isaiah Jones. Strikes me because of what he does. He's a player that's got quite a high ceiling, and sort of if everything breaks right for him, he could get a lot better, couldn't he?
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, for sure. I think he's still got a lot of experience for his age, and his year, and there's an awful lot to build on. I think that's the beauty of a lot of the players in the squad. Of we feel that there's big gains to be made individually and as a team. So we're delighted that Izzy's sorted out and he's here, and he is here for a lot longer, and working with him, trying to develop him and bring out the very best and fulfil his potential.
Just picking up on something you said there, Michael, in terms of, you know, planning for the summer, and you're obviously looking to do things in the summer to strengthen the squad. Are you down the line yet where you are quite clear in your mind in terms of, you know, what you will want to do in the summer, or is that something that kind of will kind of pick up in the weeks ahead as it's more clear where you're going to be next season?
No, I think you're always pretty clear in terms of what we want it to look like. What type of players, what where we want to strengthen within the group and how we want to move forward. I think that's pretty clear in terms of exactly who and what it'll look like. That's not an easy, that's not almost our decision, you know. We try to do the things we feel we want to try and pull off and bring in and what have you, but it's not always a straightforward. So it's kind of moving, it's a bit of a moving jigsaw puzzle and the pieces come and go a little bit and you try to make it the best one and come out the end of it a lot stronger, certainly in terms of time. We want to be proactive and get things in place as quickly as we can and give us that good starting point, really, going into the next season.
Yeah, we've mentioned Izzy's contract and, you know, that being a positive, getting that sorted. Riley's in quite a similar position in that he'll be entering the last 12 months of his deal. Is it fair to say he'd be another one in that kind of mould where you'd be hoping to try and sort something out there?
Yeah, there's a number of players, actually. So I think until anything's done contract-wise, you know, talks are ongoing in different ways with different players. But certainly for me, in terms until there's anything to kind of confirm that, it's not really to comment further. It's not really the right thing to do. But certainly we want the squad to be stronger. We've got some important players that we want to have here for a lot longer as well. And that's for us to get that balance right.
Yeah, looking to Monday, obviously without two extra players, with Luke and Sam not being available. But have any players who have been injured been able to return to training at all this week?
Not particularly, really. Paddy's back around the group. Obviously, Alex Bangaro's back around the group training now for a number of weeks, which is really pleasing. Josh is a little bit further off. Dale's a little bit further off. So that's pretty much where we are at the moment.
Yeah, is Paddy kind of back among the group where he could be in contention?
He's back training, Paddy, yeah.
Brilliant, yeah. And just a different one on that. Daryl Lenehan was kind of a few weeks ago hoping he might get back before the end. Is that still?
No, it was never really a target to be at the end of the season for Daryl.
No, but then looking beyond, obviously there's Daryl, there's Tommy, there's Marcus, and there's Riley, who are all kind of. How important is it for them, kind of now, to kind of focus on the summer and pre-season, and I guess, you know, trying to get themselves into a position where they are ready for next season?
Yeah, well, to be honest, unfortunately, we've had a number of players who have ended up missing quite a bit of football, not far off since kind of Christmas time, really, January time, you know, in terms of Dale and Josh, and obviously Alex is back training now, and Hayden's missed a bit of football, and then the boys that you've listed there. So there's a group who will be desperate to be ready for pre-season and almost a fresh start, and looking forward to playing a lot of football again. So it'd be great to have them back and get them back around the group and back training again. And it seems far off at the moment, whatever happens in what pre-season looks like, but certainly for those boys it's a big focus to get back fit.
Yeah, so is that a suggestion then that Josh, Dale and Hayden?
No, I'm just saying they've missed a lot of football, so yeah. That this, whatever happens in the next couple of weeks, they'll have missed a fair bit of football, you know, and they won't be at full rhythm by the time that comes around. So it's kind of some of the boys have missed whatever, maybe 4 months. You know, it's quite a big chunk. So we'll get them back and we'll get them back fit and hopefully soon, and certainly back for pre-season.
Yeah, as we've always said, you know, these kind of absentees do create opportunities for others, and I guess with the league table as it is now, the bigger picture, if you like, for yourselves, does this kind of create opportunities for youngsters, which I appreciate, you know, it's something you've been so keen to do anyway?
Yeah, it could do, yeah, it could do. There's three games and we're certainly conscious of that, of managing the three games. We're first of all, we're approaching this one to try and win this one. This still things to play for this season that we certainly haven't given up on just yet, so we're not getting ahead of ourselves with that, but you know, we'll approach this game and give everything we can, and as the next couple of games come after that, we'll see where the land lies, where we stand and who we feel complain who's still fit.
Yeah, not necessarily game time, because there's other ways of giving opportunities, but you know, you have been so keen and you have actively done that this season with younger players. I mean, is that a reflection of kind of, you know, the quality of the academy and the players that the academy is producing?
Yeah, I'm certainly keen. The coaches, as you know, we're so keen and to bring the younger players through, and sometimes, yeah, the end game is to try and get in the first team, to grab them in the pitch, to try and develop them, be part of our team, and sometimes it's a little bit, it's a little bit of giving them the chance to train with us and develop them that way, and giving them the opportunities like that. So it's not always one that everyone might see, but we're certainly always aware of trying to give the next ones as much opportunity to take the next step. And that's kind of ongoing every week. That's in the plan. So some are a little bit further ahead than others, and see what the next few games bring.
Just on Josh and Dale, I don't know the nature of Dale's injury, but Josh's is obviously something that's bothered him for a while. Have you got to the bottom of it? So when he is back in the season?
Yeah, well, hopefully, yeah. See, it all seems in a good place with Josh. He's back on the grass. He's not actually totally with us, but he's back in and around on the grass. So it's. Said it to you, I think, before, is, you know, certain times, certain players, you kind of got to look after them a little bit and give them a little bit more time, making sure that you might take a hit in terms of short term, but it's a long career ahead of, hopefully, for the boys as well, so there's a responsibility for us to do that. So yeah, we're confident Josh will be in good shape.
And what's the situation with Tom? I know you said to Craig last week, you were assessing that, whether he might need surgery. Tom Glover.
Yeah, he's had a really small procedure on his finger, so he'll miss the next three games. But yeah, it's not a big deal.
On the subject of keepers, you've had a couple out on loan this season. Zach Hennon and Sol Brini, both done well. They've been. How do you reflect on their
Yeah, good. I think it's we're fortunate that we have got the goalkeepers to choose from, and what's best, you know, some of the younger ones, and what's best for us in terms of what the squad looks like, what best for them in terms of how we can bring out the best of them and give them the best chance to fulfil the potential. And so it's an individual kind of case by case, really, but the boys have done well and gained a lot of experience, so, you know, we've obviously got to make decisions and how the balance of the group looks moving forward, but that's the time of year it is, but we're fortunate enough that we've got them choices to make.
It must be difficult for goalkeepers, because whereas, I guess, we said forwards or midfield players, there's more opportunities for them, there's more chance they're going to get an opportunity. Do you have to deal with keepers differently in that there's only one of them, and if you've got a senior, it's not the type of position that you might tinker with or tweak and
Yeah, I think it's not to say that there's never an opportunity, and it's never set in stone from our point of view, but yeah, of course, it's I think as an outfield player there's probably more flexibility in getting the opportunity. That's the nature of the roles, really, and the positions, and the boys all understand that.
Obviously last summer it was kind of, you had to make a big changes to the squad because of inevitable exits, alone he's going back. Does it feel different this season? Does it feel as almost like you're getting a bit of a running start in the next season, because so true, there shouldn't be as much of an overhaul in the summer?
Yeah, there's always the nature of stability is important, and continuity is really important, that we're kind of building on something rather than starting all over again. That helps us move forward without doubt. We're always looking to improve, and we always want to push the current players to be better and bring out the best of them. We want to push to see what else there to enhance the squad as well. So. The further along the line with that, the less changes we have to keep making. Yeah, of course, we want to build on it, and we want it. I think we've a lot of the players this year have gained a lot of experience over time. Again, some good experiences, some a bit more challenging, but I think they'll be better for it, and they'll certainly be better for it come next season.
And obviously, I wouldn't expect you to tell me all the positions that you might look to strengthen or something, but how much work do you think is needed in the next?
There's always a bit of work to be done, which is quite exciting, and I think it's a real positive to think we've done a lot of good things this year. Again, the experience is of certain players in a new environment, and how they've grasped that, and how much they'll be better for it next year. there's always work to do. It never stops, you know. We've never cracked it. We're never kind of totally happy with what we've got. I think we've always got to be pushing. So sometimes, I've said it to you before, sometimes it's in the plans. Sometimes something will get thrown at us that maybe no one could see, and it's an opportunity that comes along, and you think, oh, that'd be a good one for us. So there's a plan. There's a certainly a plan. There's a bigger picture. We want it to grow with current players, with maybe some new players, and then flexible for something as and when it might pop up.
Last one for me. I know the situations are different because Burnley went up or won the title, whatever it was, last season. Leeds can't do that on Monday. But can that be motivation to let's not have someone celebrating on our turf again at this stage of the season on Monday?
Honestly, I think the motivation comes from us, really. Yeah, we obviously went through that last season, and it's certainly not ideal, but at the same point, you've got to respect the position, and Burnley had achieved what they had achieved, so they were well within the rights to celebrate that night. But certainly now it's about us, really, in terms of where we are, the stage of the season, where we are as a team, how we want to finish the season. It really is only about us going into Monday.
Thank you.
On leaving Portman Road on Saturday, some of the fans were sort of saying that incredible experience we've been this last week, two tremendous atmospheres, two really good contests about and good games. Can you, as a manager, you're obviously disappointed that we only took a point from each, but can you take anything from having any pride from having been really in those games?
Yeah, no, there's always positives to take from any game, however, you know, tough or bad it may seem at some point. There's always positives to take. I can appreciate they were both good games of football, they were entertaining, especially them two games. You know, we were trying to win it, all were trying to win it, Ipswich were trying to win it. You know, we all had our own agendas and we were all going for it. And then on another day, we could have won both with some of the opportunities we had. So there's a lot of positives to take from it. In terms of enjoying it, I like seeing the boys express themselves and go for it and try to win the game. So I enjoyed that side of things. It's a little bit frustrating with the results, of course. We wanted more. But yeah, definitely take the positives from that.
And obviously it'll be a really big atmosphere again on Monday night match as well. Bring something special, and there'll be a big away following from Leeds. So again, the sort of games that players truly want to thrive in playing.
Yeah, it's a big game, and this time of year when there's still a lot to play for, there's a lot at stake to have a night game, and this type of game, I think it's one that we can all thrive off, you know, supporters, players, create a great energy and you know, have a good night, create a good atmosphere, and the boys will be up for it, they'll be looking for a good performance, the supporters hopefully look forward to enjoy what we've done recently and build on that and come and get behind the boys and try and make it a good night for us.
And how important do you think it is to finish the season well?
Yeah, ideally it is. Of course, you know, how much it then goes into next season is anyone's guess, really. You know, you can finish the season strong and the next season can maybe be a little bit different. It doesn't always work like that. But of course, in terms of you just want to be the best we can be, and we're greedy, you know, we want to win every game. If we don't win, it's not quite enough for us. So I think we're hungry for more wins. We're hungry for more results. We understand Leeds is going to be a tough game, but you know we'll try and attack the game as best as we can and try and win the game.
Cheers.
All right. Cheers, guys.
The words of Michael Carrick are, in essence, we will attack Leeds and we will seek to win. That's right, Rob. You come fresh from that press conference. It was all there. Carrick was basically pretty much bullish, three games to go. And if we can actually celebrate the 21st birthday of Thomas Barkley, then we can at least calculate the mathematics and say, well, if Norwich don't quite win and we win all of our games, then that kind of, it still might possibly, but probably not in actual fact.
I think we'll know exactly where we stand by Monday. It'll all be cleared up by then. But I think the pressure will have ramped up on Leeds by Monday, it could really play in our favour. If I had one more question to ask, I thought afterwards that was one that I might have asked Michael Carrick, that there could be a bit of a gap above Leeds. Leaving, I mean, when I walked out of Ipswich Town at Portman Road, the Ipswich fans didn't quite know what to do. As we were walking in, they were celebrating because of the early results going in their favour. But coming out, they were kind of, well, have we blown this by drawing? But then as we went past pubs, they were all. You could hear all the chanting from outside. We are top of the league. We are the top of the league. And for Leeds, the pressure's going to be on them on Monday. So. Which is great. Hopefully we can really exploit that because, yeah, I think we do need to end this season well. We ended last season, it sort of, the way it fitted away, it was almost like that set the tone for the start of this season, which we didn't really ever recover from. So it would be great. And to beat Leeds is always good, but to beat Leeds towards the end of the season would leave a very nice taste in the mouth over the summer.
And we might look forward to playing them again next season, of course. But allowing for the Leeds scenario, Jack Charlton, Terry Cooper, Patrick Bamford, Luke Ayling. Sean, you've been doing some research in terms of some of those players, some of those connections, including Luke Ayling, etc. And some of the other links in terms of Leeds and Middlesbrough, one of whom believes they are in Yorkshire, the other one doesn't really care. But there we are. Any thoughts from yourself, Sean, in terms of this particular article in which you're looking at Tommy Smith and a whole range of sort of other areas that we're addressing?
Yeah, I mean, I chose to focus on, obviously, the current link that we've got with two Leeds players, with Sam Greenwood and Luke Ayling.
But let's face it, you weren't born when Terry Cooper and Jack Charles were playing, so we could appreciate that, you know?
No. My fondest memories of Big Jack were with Ireland in the World Cup. But I focus on Luke Ayling because I think he's been quite an interesting and quite divisive at times topic since we got him in January. I must admit, I was one of those who sort of erred on the side of caution. I was surprised that we got him, given his sort of staunch loyalty with Leeds United. And I did think he'd always bring us some experience, but I think he's shown us a bit more than what we expected in his performances, and he's quietly gone about his business. He was thrown in quite early, I think, because of the lack of cover on the right-hand side. I think we were playing Rav there for quite a long time, who did a very competent job, but we quickly realised that his strengths lie in the middle. And I think Luke's done a really, really good job, and of course he's going to be out of contract. And I know some people are concerned about maybe the salary and what he might command. But to be honest, and this is not a slant on him, but I don't think Premier League clubs are going to come calling. So therefore, his level, if you like, is probably going to be in the second tier. And I don't think there's too many better outfits out there than a Middlesbrough with a good upcoming coach. Something, a project that he can get his teeth into. So I think he's someone that we should definitely consider in the summer.
Of course, a little over 21 years ago, Chris Bartley, you were planning on the structure of today's Fly Me to the Moon system, and you said, we need to have a quintet of quality. We need a fifth person, which is why you welcome Thomas into the world. I appreciate this. You always play the long game, Chris, and I'm sure you know Thomas will be impressive with respect to that as well. But your thoughts, Chris, on how things are going? I mean, we seem to be, again, at that stage of... It's so-so, but ultimately, you cannot underestimate the emphasis, the boost that winning your last three games can give you in terms of the next season.
Absolutely. I think the what Rob referred to earlier about kind of, we seemed to limp across the line last season in terms of, I think, once we managed to qualify for the playoffs, some of the performances were just lacked a little bit of conviction, and I don't know whether some players were carrying injuries or things like that. But if we could go, 12 games unbeaten, which, you know, we've got three more games to go, I think that would just be such a boon for whatever happens in the summer, you know, in terms of, I think it would put us in good stead for the recruitment. Psychologically, I think you just have that self-belief going into the whatever follows. And I think, like Rob said, there was undoubtedly, I know we had lots of new players, but there was undoubtedly a little bit of a hangover at the beginning of this season. There seemed to be some lack of confidence, or I don't know, but there was something missing when we started this season. So I just
Well,
think if
points for instance, they were missing for a long part of the start of the season, really.
absolutely
Any
that was a
points
big thing, yeah,
whatsoever.
that does make a difference, yeah. But I think, you know, 12 game, if we could go 12 games unbeaten and lead us into the summer, that would just be a perfect ending to the season. I know that might sound as though you may be accepting something that you didn't initially want, because obviously we'll miss out on the playoffs, but that would just be a perfect ending. And I think in terms of recruitment and things, you know, like Sean mentioned about Luke Ayling, if we kind of want him and the wage structure there, he'd be happy to come. I think Lewis O'Brien's done well as well, and we don't know what his salary situation would be. But you just can't, you know, going back to what Sean was saying about Luke Ayling, apparently he's got more assists from open play since the start of March. That's, you know, in all the leagues, that's something, you know, it's really something that you can't be sniffed at, really. So I think, you know, we'd be in a good position if we can, you know, finish the season well. And I'm just hoping that's going to be the case. And, you know, nothing better than beating Leeds on Monday, really. You know, I remember them so much. You know, this I'm referring to my age here, but when I was at junior school, it was really you either had the Leeds hold all or you had the Borough hold all, and there was such a big team at the time, you know. So, but I've always thought that as being a big, you know, no matter whether we've been in the top division or the second division, it's always been great to beat them. So it'd be nice if we could do that on Monday.
Strangely, in my day, I was the only one in school who actually had a Manchester City hold all, but then again, that's always been my way. Still, life continues. Okay, one question that has been causing me cause to ponder, and I'm going to put it to you, Chris, before we go to Thomas. And it was just I was thinking about dream teams and various other things, or lineups, etc. So I had three players in mind here, and who would get your nod? Emmanuel Latelaar, Chuba Akpom, or Alan Foggen? I just throw those out there. Alan Foggen, Chuba Akpom, or Emmanuel Latelaar.
That's such a
We can
it's
leave you with it for a few
impossible.
moments and maybe put it to Rob as well in terms of lines for that lineup. Because sometimes people would say, oh, well, put in a Ravenelli, put in a Giannini, and that would become almost a no-brainer. But I thought, no, Alan Foggen, Chuba
Yeah,
Akpom, Latelaar.
it's a very, very good question, really. In terms of kind of longevity, I suppose Alan Foggen done it all, but then again, it was only a couple of seasons with Alan Foggen. It's a very good question.
Wow.
Yeah, the sort of they had a massive impact over a short period of time. So I'm going to position myself on the fence with that one. It's okay.
Okay. Maybe you might as well put it to Steve Gibson later on in the week, but still, that's another line entirely. Thomas Bartley, welcome to the program. 21 English years. That means you can now have alcohol in the United States of America. So that's good. Or not, as the case may be, given you might well be teetotal and very sensible as well. Thomas, any thoughts on Borough's end of the season? Do you echo your dad's thoughts there in terms of, yeah, three more wins would be a really good way to wrap up a season which has certainly had its ups and downs?
Yeah, I do really, and I apologise if I cut out at all. I think my Wi-Fi connection is a little bit poor, but never mind. But yeah, I think it has been a positive run, really, and I think it's the sort of boost we needed after sort of feeling a bit down after, particularly I would say in the weeks after the Chelsea semi-final, when it started to seem that as if our playoff hopes were sliding away too, and what had seemed like the potential for two Wembley visits all of a sudden was zero. Yeah, I think, you know, we've played pretty well. Some of the performances have been pretty accomplished, I've felt really. So, you know, I think if we were to get, you know, Leeds, say no more in terms of the rivalry there and kind of the boost that would give us. But if we could get some, you know, finish on a good note, whether or not it's a perfect note or not, but finish on a good note, and I'm sure we'll feel well going into the summer.
I think the only player who actually has had a feel-good week this time, who had links with both Borough and City, is Morgan Rodgers. But let's not talk about Europe because we do want to get a few words on. You mentioned there, Thomas, obviously the Chelsea League Cup semi-final, Carabao Cup semi-final. But what about the decision that's just been made by, of course, the lords and rulers of the Football Association, the Premier League, to say no more replays ever in the FA Cup, specifically going all the way back to the first round, etc. Chris, you're already shaking your head. I feel like myself, you might think, but this is insane.
Oh, it's just it's devastating, really, because I think, you know, that when commentators talk about the FA Cup and they refer to the magic of the cup, quite a lot of that is the long running epic duels that you've had where I remember there's loads
Leeds
of
Leeds and
examples.
Chelsea FA Cup 1970-71.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the in more recent memory, like the Borough Everton ones that we had in the late 80s, they were so exciting, and I don't think you just generate the same kind of interest and memories, really, you know, that taking that away, you know, if it's just a kind of a single tie that's settled on the day. And, you know, it's the fact that it just went through without any consultation with all the teams involved.
I know, Chris, they've had consultation. It was consultation after the fact. This is a new technique that is actually being used by universities to actually get their points across as well these days. No names, but, you know, when the memoir is written, Lord above. Sean, from your own perspective, do you think this is a crazy decision, the abandonment of replays in the FA Cup?
I think it's just disgusting. You know, I echo what Chris is saying there. Well, we know who this decision is based around, and it's those teams in the upper echelons of the football pyramid. And my immediate thought was some of those clubs that, you know, we talk about the romanticism of the FA Cup, which is one thing and a big thing that we'll miss. But what about those lower league clubs who it's one of those avenues where they can make some money and it, you know, it'll get them through the next few years? I think about Lincoln a few years ago when they had that amazing FA Cup run. I think it's the quarterfinals they played Arsenal.
Yep.
And they were the first non-league club in like over 100 years or something to get so far. And look at how well it stood them. I think they're like seventh in League One or something now. And these clubs that rely on that sort of money to, you know, to survive, for want of a better word, really. But I just think to not consult the EFL clubs. I gather that the FA Cup committee even didn't have any say in it. It's just, we're just pandering to those big clubs who already have that ridiculous sort of advantage over other clubs already. So it leaves a really sour taste, really.
Clearly, it allows the opportunity to play matches in Australia, in New York, and encompass the global aspect or not. Or maybe just exploit the fans. Thomas, as the younger aspect of this, is it a case of, basically we should actually take it even further and just have 30-minute halves or a game of four quarters and have sort of penalty battles just without even extra time?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't put it past the FA to suggest such an alternative, and probably also without consultation. To briefly, and, you know, I'm not saying this with any particular conviction, but to briefly play devil's advocate, I suppose some people have said that, you know, do replays actually make it more likely for lower league teams to advance? I don't necessarily agree with that argument, because I think that the dynamics of the matches are naturally different when you're playing them over one 90-minute match with the potential for extra time and whatnot, rather than the potential for a replay. But I think that it's more just, you know, You've got to ask when you look at it, even from a business perspective, you know, what's unique about the FA Cup? And if you just strip back everything, which makes it unique, you know, I know there's been talk about not fixing the final as well after the end of the domestic season, which is a, you know, another sort of marquee, you know, trademark of the FA Cup. If you just strip all these things away, then what's actually significant about it, and thus what's actually worthwhile about it, is all goes away. And I think, you know, there's already been enough changes and enough compromises made to suit the higher division teams. I think it's about time that, you know, they prepare to stomach something. And, you know, look, some of them might plead nostalgia, some of them might exclude themselves, but, you know, they haven't challenged the decision of UEFA to expand the Champions League in the way that they have, which has obviously been precipitated this change. So It's another disappointing move, but you know, unfortunately, it seems there's no real route to sort of challenge it.
We just need to actually ask what Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich actually think about these things, because they clearly have an input in some way, shape, or form. Rob, no Wycombe Wanderers replay. So, I mean, not just the Everton game, all of those aspects would have gone from that point of view. Are you a traditionalist? Would you actually say, yeah, we need those replays so that you can have midweek fixtures? Or is it a case of no, put it all on Saturday afternoon, abandon all those things, and basically make sure it's sorted out as quickly as possible?
No, it's an absolutely appalling decision, and it's going to rebound on them in a way, because it's the second reading of the Football Governance Bill in Parliament on Tuesday, and I think we'll find that there's a lot of opposition against the Premier League as a result of this. It's kind of, I think the timing is probably, maybe it was on purpose, but it's going to rebound on them, and I think Grimsby were the first club to come out and criticise, and they mentioned about needing the independent regulator now, and I think there's every chance that everyone will be wanting to make sure that that independent regulator has real teeth now. They just sort of can't help themselves but to sort of underline why we need somebody
Those
like
inflatable
that.
haddocks that Grimsby Town fans actually took to Southampton and so on, a critical part of happy FA Cup memories, as indeed would be Johnny Haynes, who also created an awful lot of memories, not necessarily in the FA Cup, but certainly across the base. And we certainly hope Fulham do the business against Liverpool this weekend, but that's by the by. Jimmy Flynn has come up with another little number, Rob, and I think it's time for us. Is this our last piece of poetry that we've actually got from Jimmy Flynn this particular season?
Yes, it is, Dave, because this is the
Right.
last fanzine of the season.
Well, there you go. I mean, I say there will be other podcasts. We will have Fly Me to the Moon, European Championship special. But yes, when it comes to poetry, I think we obviously need to do justice to this Johnny Haynes number, even though, as far as I'm aware, Haynes had very little connection, if any, with Middlesbrough Football Club. But there we
No,
are. So it
absolutely.
goes. So it
No.
goes. Off you go, Rob. Johnny Haynes.
When legendary soccer star Johnny Haynes held the England and Fulham captaincy reins.
In a quest for perfection, he took great pains, placing club loyalty over personal gains.
A footballer of the highest international class, Johnny was a master of the slide rule class pass.
Vast and consummate was his passing range, as was his ability again to change.
Wearing a number 10 shirt, a classic inside left, blessed with ball skills, adroit and deft.
Filled with infinite levels of football finesse, once settled on the ball, difficult to dispossess.
The pinnacles of domestic and world football he gloriously bestrode, as a barrage of tackles he unflinchingly roared.
In post-war Britain, he grew to fame and rapidly became a household sporting name.
On match days at Fulham's Craven Cottage ground, his voice would endlessly echo and reverberate around.
Less able teammates, he would coax, cajole, and berate while tuning in performances consistently great.
Immaculate in appearance, football, and Brill Cream's poster boy, the toughest football defences he would stylishly destroy.
At the peak of his powers in the transitional football age, the first British footballer to earn a £100 a week wage.
With 56 England caps and two World Cup tournaments under his belt, the pain of premature career-ending injuries he felt.
Injury sustained in a Blackpool seafront car crash, a brilliant football career did effectively dash.
England and Fulham star Johnny Haynes, in his quest for football perfection, took great pains.
Yes, yeah, never played for Middlesbrough, but there we are. Interesting how I wasn't sure whether Jimmy's allusion to him, his voice echoing around the ground, was that because hardly anybody was going to Fulham in those days at Craven Cottage, and they had low audiences. I don't know, maybe not. Any thoughts on Johnny Haynes, Chris Bartley?
You know what? Has there been a lot of footage of Johnny Haynes? Because I don't have too many great memories of no, I know when I was reading the fanzine, I had a quick look on YouTube and I couldn't find an awful lot. So I don't really have too many memories of I've read a lot of things about him and how he was revered, but yeah,
The only
so
Johnny Haynes memorabilia I ever had was a football card that was given free with a comic magazine called Tiger. You may remember that, Chris. And they became Tiger and Jag. with Roy Race, Roy of the Rovers, Skid Solo, and Johnny Cougar. Names these days who probably wouldn't pass mustard in an age of hashtag Me Too, but what the hey. Skid Solo, obviously. And Slash Gordon, of course. Johnny Cougar's faithful sidekick for wrestling purposes. Enough of such stuff. Sean, you can find those things, if you wish, on YouTube. let's talk Leeds United. Is it a game that you are looking forward to actually getting a good result against and actually finally saying, Mr. Farker, go away?
I think it'll be a really interesting game, actually. I think back to the away game we played against them, and it was scintillating, not always comfortable to watch, but the way that obviously Leeds go about their football, and of course Michael Carrick is keen to have us as an attacking outfit ourselves. I wonder if it'll be slightly different in the sense that he's always quick to point out, Michael, that we haven't made wholesale changes and we haven't sort of adopted a different approach as such, but there's no getting away. We're definitely a more robust outfit in the last nine games, and we're a bit better organised at the back. I don't think we could go on shipping goals like we were, even though we were creating plenty. I think we had to adjust the balance slightly. So it's going to be interesting. Leeds have got to go for it. Of course they have. I think that will play into our hands. I think we'll stay quite tight, and I think there'll be opportunities for us. And obviously in Lati Laf, we've got a striker who, A, is banging form, but maybe more importantly is really feeling confident. And I think he can exploit those gaps, because Leeds will allow us chances, I think. And I don't like the word, you know, or the phrase, a free hit. I don't think Michael Carrick does either. He was quite quick to quash any sort of insinuation that we're just going to, you know, we've got a bit of a free and easy end of the season. I think he wants, and he sets up to win every game. So I think it'll be a good battle, and I'm looking forward to us doing the job, to be honest.
Mike Amos has memories of his first experience of a full house watching Middlesbrough when Jack Charlton's winner, of course, with Alan Foggan in there. Rob, you haven't escaped from this point of view. I still want your decision on Alan Foggan, Emmanuel Latelath, or indeed Chuba Akbom. But Mike Amos talking about the 40,000 people under the Ayrsam floodlights, seeing a testimonial, of course, for Bury defender Bill Gates. And this brings us around to the centre spread of this week, of course, Rob. No-brainer, yeah. Featuring the book for everyone who's ever headed to football, Bill Gates' Legacy by Mike Amos.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about Johnny Haynes, and he was before all of our time, and he was a man who was injured in a car crash, so he may have played in the 1966 World Cup, but for that car crash. Bill Gates is from the 60s era, and he played 333 games for Borough. He came out of a mining town in County Durham. He got out of football at the age of 29. He got his testimonial money. He trained as an accountant. He invested it into sports shops. He realised the timing was right. From one sports shop in Dundas Arcade, he opened, like, he got like a mini empire. He sold out to what became, in the end, Sports Direct, really. He became a multimillionaire and moved to the Cayman Islands. So far, everything's a real success. But through his football career, he had terrible migraines from heading the ball. He was told by the doctor, the club doctor, it was just like that's what centre-halves have to put up with. But in the end, it's turned out to be CTE, which is like an impact injury from headers. And I think he realised towards the end, him and his wife, a really intelligent lady, Dr. Judith Gates, that realised he was getting dementia, and to dedicate the rest of his time to trying to send out a message there to other footballers, to anyone who heads the ball, that there are dangers. And they basically base everything on scientific fact and look carefully at all the figures. I think the most damning thing for me is that what they've looked at is they've compared outfield players and goalkeepers, how many of them get dementia. And goalkeepers are exactly the same as the background, as the rest of the population, but footballers, the incidence are far higher. It was we had hoped, hadn't we, that it might be all to do with the old ball, but the old leather case ball. But it looks like the way that football has speeded up, sadly, we see younger and younger footballers getting dementia, and what they're suggesting is CTE, which is through the impact of heading the ball. So we've already seen some moves afoot to reduce heading for young players, and also in training. Apparently, Bill Gates was heading a ball again and again and again every day, and he would just come home with this blinding headache, and he basically wanted to get out of football as early as he could, and he did. So it's an important book and an important message, and it's a message for everybody. So they also look after some of the players that are going through, and their families that are going through a bad time. For instance, sadly, our own Gordon McQueen, they helped out Gordon's family. So yeah, important book. I got it sent this week, I haven't read it yet. But yeah, that was one of my earliest memories, that testimonial game, the 40,000 in there, and it was an incredible occasion, of course, to bow out with the champions of the second division, the runaway champions in Middlesbrough, against the champions of Leeds. So it's quite apt, isn't it, that we're talking about that game as we preview the Borough Leeds game on Monday.
Indeed, it's synchronicity. Rob, Alan Foggan, Manuel Atelath, or Tuba Akpom, who is going to get the nod?
Well, it's interesting. I would love to have seen a race between Alan Foggan and Latte Lath, because Alan Foggan was a champion sprinter, wasn't he? And that's what Jack Charlton unleashed, this champion sprinter who sprinted from midfield and no one could catch him. Latte Lath is incredibly quick off the mark. Off the three of them, I would probably pick Tuba Akpom, because I think he's kind of been ruined at Ajax. I think he could have gone on to score 20 goals a season for me. He's just a brilliant player, but I think there's a lot of potential in Latte Lath. But I'll take the memories of Alan Foggan, because it was a great sort of he wasn't the classic mould, was he? When you look at him in his shirt, he was a big fella, and I remember all those photographs of him when they were making him sweat off the pounds and everything like that. But yeah, he was a sort of buccaneering, old-fashioned player with his long hair, etc. But Tuba Akpom is the greatest player of them all. But Latte Lath could yet go on to bigger things than all three, all the three of them.
And we were wishing Thomas, obviously, happy 21st birthday. There's a 90th birthday coming up as well with Roy Chatto. Do you want to just share with us details of Roy Chatto, Borough all-time great, Rob?
Well, he is. He's the only person left, apart from my dad, who can remember, whose memory goes back to seeing Middlesbrough play at Ayrton Park in the Second World War, 1944, I think it is, with Roy. So you can talk to him, and he can still tell you about Wilf Mannion and George Hardwick and people like that. But the remarkable thing about Roy as well, not just longevity, is that he lives near Dunstable, near Luton, and he goes to he's got an away and a home season ticket, and him and his little gang go to every single game, home and away. And I know he missed a game about 10 years ago. But that was through illness in his family.
I just wonder
if anyone's ever been to as many games in Middlesbrough's history. And certainly nobody will have travelled as many miles watching Middlesbrough than Roy. So there'll be a little bit of a celebration for the last match of the season when I think he's going to get a special shirt presented to him. He really deserves it, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, I know that Chris had high hopes that Thomas would actually follow in the footsteps, but as he's handing back his season card, I'm afraid it's just devastation. But, you know, that's by the by. We appreciate the reasons, but I don't know, Chris. You must shake your head and think, millennials, eh? What could you do? Anyway, let's go for scores. Sean, what is your prediction for Borough versus Leeds United?
I'm going to go for a reverse of the fixture early on in the season. I'm going to go 3-2 for that.
And obviously, the Bluebirds of Cardiff will be up next. Any thoughts on that one? We might have another Fly Me to the Moon before Watford. So, any thoughts about Cardiff?
Yeah, I'm going to go for a comfortable 2-0 win.
Thomas, what are your views and thoughts on this one? Leeds United and then Cardiff.
I really would not like us to lose to Leeds on Monday. It's purely because I think that last season we had a game against Burnley late doors. They won and that secured their promotion. And it's never a nice feeling to have people celebrating on your own turf. But I don't know if we will have enough to win. I think we could be another exciting match, maybe a 2-2 draw. I think I'm going to go for.
Yeah, I mean, certainly you're celebrating on your own patch. I mean, the folk at the Etihad are very disappointed with respect to the Spanish team who decided to actually take that particular routine. Such a shame that Bernardo had to hit it down the middle. Never mind. Okay, Chris, your predictions, please.
I'm going for 3-1 against Leeds and 2-0 against Cardiff.
Confident as ever, which is very good. And Rob?
I will go for 3-1 against Leeds, and I'll go for 2-1 against Cardiff when we hope to have a big turnout. Because would you believe that Cardiff are only charging us £11 for tickets? So that's pretty good.
Keeps the Anglo-Welsh borders open, shall we say, in an era where it seems that we're faced with all manner of challenges. Okay, and looking ahead to the Steve Gibson event, are tickets still available for that on Thursday the 25th? Or is it a case of don't be crazy, they've all gone?
No, they're still available, and you need to get hold of a fanzine on Monday because there's a QR code on there, and you can scan that, and you can get your tickets. I think I'll be putting them on sale online on Monday as well, or possibly Sunday. But there's only 100 tickets, so it should be good. It's good chance to question the borough owner, and maybe people are going to ask him about what he thinks about FA Cup replays as well.
Or indeed, Alan Fogg and Latte Lath or Chuba Akpom. I'm just saying,
Yeah.
you have two there, and I will think of you whilst I'm actually finishing off my journalism and contemporary cinema class at the University of Lincoln. Sadly,
Right.
getting from Lincoln at 6 p.m. Through to Middlesbrough without a helicopter. I mean, if Steve Gibson would like to lend me a personal helicopter, I would be delighted to do that. I don't think that's going to happen somehow. I'm just
No.
saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, and how do people actually get the back issues of this season, Rob? Or indeed possibly think ahead to next season and subscribing?
Yeah, it's fmttmborough.com. There's a fanzine shop which has co you can buy any copy, I think, on there from this season. Yes, and we'll be looking at I'm sure we'll have some podcasts before that. We'll have to get our calculators out and work out how much we think that the postage might cost by next season
Yeah.
to work out the price. It's anyone's guess, isn't it, really?
Well, I mean, my bet is on pretty much being the kind of salary that Johnny Haynes used to have, basically, as was
Yeah.
alluded to, around about £100 a stamp, probably that'd be the line
Yeah.
we're heading towards. But I'm probably wrong on that. As mentioned, we're probably going to squeeze in one more Fly Me to the Moon podcast before Watford. And of course, we've got our European Championship Predictor Challenge, which actually would be a debut for Thomas, Chris, and Sean, because I don't think, Rob, they've actually been part of our Predictor Challenge before, a biannual event. Really designed very much when we're talking about the international scene, either World Cup or indeed European Championships. So I think, Rob, you've got a kind of a patchy record in previous campaigns, really. You're
I
very
get
close,
hammered
obviously.
every time by people that say that they don't know. They don't. There was an American girl who did
Yeah.
really well, wasn't there?
Yeah.
She
Jessica
didn't.
Burtis, absolutely zero
Yes.
knowledge about soccer, but at the same time,
Yes.
she manages to win
Soccer.
on a regular basis. So, yes, we
Yes.
may well have a random soul in there. I'm thinking we might have a Romanian joining us for the next
Right.
scenario, just to sort of keep that out there. Meanwhile, to Sean or I, to Chris Bartley and to Thomas Bartley, huge thanks. And of course, Rob Nichols. Okay, that's it for the penultimate time this season, at least as far as the podcast's concerned, but the final time for, of course, the paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon. Those final words after three. One, two, three.
Come on, Borough.
Come
Come
on,
on,
Borough.
Borough, and up the
Up
Borough.
the Borough.
Up the Borough.